Hello. We do a countdown before the show. It's 5, 4, 3, 2, and then I wait for the one. But we're the rolling, but we're on the air. So good evening, everybody. This is BBS Radio. This is the Wind Show on Monday night. And the topic tonight is grace and gratitude. And there's another category, too, which escapes me right now. Wind's going to be on in a minute. We're doing a simulcast where we have the radio show, and then we also have people on a conference line that call in. And so he's collecting all the people on the conference line, and he'll be right on the air with us momentarily. So we're broadcasting. BBS, I believe, is in Paradise, California, and Wynn and myself are in Sedona, Arizona, and beautiful sun just going down in the west. And some of you will be listening later at various times, and some of you are on BBS Radio at different locations across the United States and Canada and Europe. One of the things that I've heard is that they're having a more earlier winter over in Europe and in some of the Scandinavian countries due to the lack of warmth coming up the Gulf Stream. And so in the channeling that we've been doing lately, we've been asking the Elohim group and the Ra group to take a look at this and see what's happened to the loop current in the Gulf of Mexico, as it usually the water, part of the water streams through the loop in the Gulf of Mexico. It warms up the water, and then it moves it around the Florida Peninsula, and it joins the Gulf Stream, warming the Gulf Stream. So, Leon, are you back on yet? So, what are the things that... Yes, are you on?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Are you on now? Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so we welcome our host, Wynn Free.
All right. And guess what? Everybody was listening to you on the conference. I said, let's see how Terry is doing.
It was pretty quiet. I didn't know if anyone was there.
No, they were being good. Except now I have got to find the record thing. Hello, everybody. This is Wynn Free. That's my...
Hey.
Hey,
Chris.
Hey, Chris. And
hey,
that was my associate, wonderful friend, Terry Brown. And just a moment, Terry. Why can't I find the codes here for... Hang on. We're going to get this down and be really professional. We're getting better. Hang on. This is Wynn. Would you like to say hello?
Steve.
Steve?
Yes.
Hey, Steve. Where are you? Are you...
No, I'm in California.
You're in California. In here? And okay, now I got the code for the recording. And just a moment, I'm going to start the recording.
Entry and exit chimes are off. Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
Okay, we just started our recording, and this is Monday, September 13th, and we are a simulcast on a conference. conference call and on UDS Radio. And we have announced a topic today, which was called Gratitude, Grace, and Greed. And, you know, in addition to greed, I think I'll add jealousy, because greed and jealousy are not so different. And
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And I think I'll start this from just talking from my own human consciousness about how I've learned to understand those things and actually expand my understanding of them, and how our sources will share with us their points of view. Because I would say everyone that's listening to this show would like to be able to tap into the qualities of grace and gratitude. And maybe you'll get a different idea of what those concepts actually mean at the end, by the time we hit the end of the show. But, you know, oftentimes we have the idea of something and we say, oh, my God, I can't do it. And then we judge ourselves and we go into unworthiness and we go on a downhill spiral. So it's good to know, what do we have to do to actually access those things? And, you know, the same thing with greed and jealousy. Why do we go into greed and jealousy? And I'm sure there's other what we would call service to self attributes of being a human. And sometimes you go into those things and you can't help them. Just as, you know, we're an automatic pilot. You're programmed. And maybe it relates to fear. So how do we integrate all this and operate at the highest level? And although you can't do it with your mind, your mind can't say, okay, I am going to be in grace and I'm going to be grateful. You know, grace and grateful both have the same root word, G-R-A, and I'm sure that's no accident because there is a connection. And it, you know, I can explain it mentally, and maybe understanding it mentally, understanding how it works, gives you a little bit of clue on how to work it. And we've talked many, many times on all of our calls about this idea of expanding your matrix. And your matrix is the part of you that is the energy part of you. It is the invisible part of you. And if we were going to look at it or try to see it, it would be as if your matrix is not just your matrix. Your matrix is part of an energy flow. And every moment, everything you do, everything you think, everywhere you go, what we call your matrix is changing. And although you can't see it change, you have monitors in your physical body to notice how it's changing. And one of the monitors is how fast time is passing. And when time seems to pass faster, you could probably make the assumption in that moment you are in an expanded matrix. And when time is passing slower, you're in a contracted matrix. And so notice the things that make time go faster. For example, one of the things I've noticed is when we started doing three conference calls a week, I really resisted that idea. They suggested, the Elohim suggested, we start doing the Wednesday call, or we continue doing it. We weren't going to continue doing it. And a while back ago, I didn't want to do the Sunday call. I was trying to delegate that to other people. It's like, I didn't want to do these calls. I don't like the commitments. And I felt like, well, what happens if I just get this responsibility and it gets dull and I have to keep trying to please people? That was my fear. But we did it, and we kept doing it. And it never did get boring. And one of the reasons it doesn't get boring is because I don't approach this as a show. I approach it as a experience. We don't rehearse things normally. It's off the top of my head. It's off the top of Terry's head. It's off the, I don't know if the Elohim and Ra groups have heads, but whatever it is, I'm sure it's off the top of them also. And one of the things that I noticed over the past few months is how fast time is moving. Now, they in previous channelings, they said this was going to happen, that time would be speeded up. Part of the reason time is speeding up is, for me, is because of these calls, because these calls create an anchor point, and some of you are noticing this, where when you get on the call, there's a strange thing that happens to time. And it's like, if you're really here with the energy, time seems different. You're in the moment. When you're in the moment, you're in the center of time. And so you're not being moved by time. Time is moving around you. And that's, to me, a sign that your matrix is expanded, because it's the passage of time and how it appears, which is one of the indicators of how big your matrix has expanded. And the faster time moves, or the less you are aware of time, then the indicator is that you've expanded your matrix. That's my conclusion. Now, I've never heard anyone else say that, and so maybe there's something wrong in the way I'm looking at it, but that's fairly well been my consistent experience. And everybody, whether they're into spiritual work or not, understands time moving fast and time moving slow. It's like if you go to a wonderful event, an entertaining event, and people are really in a great spirit, or you go to a spiritual gathering, sometimes you sit down and, you know, 2 hours goes like, boom, a really great movie. Boom, it's finished. Where did the time go? Well, that was an expanded matrix. You connected with all the people in the audience. For example, if you watch a movie in a movie theater, it's a very different experience than if you rent a DVD or video and watch it by yourself at home, because it's a group connection in that theater. And all the emotions and all the feelings that are coming off that screen are shared by the group, and you are in that group, and you are creating a group consciousness in that group, and it makes the experience of the emotions more vivid, and it makes the passing of time far more fast. That's an example of group energy, that whether anyone understands all this other stuff, we all have related to. So that's an expanded matrix. Maybe sitting on top of a mountaintop or a hill and looking down at a valley and looking at a city. And there's that moment where you're looking. Sometimes it's like your breath gets taken. And Why is it that people love to be on high places and look down? You know why? Because there's no obstruction to their energy. And their energy can totally expand into that whole area, and there's an exhilaration when that happens. So we've all experienced expanded matrices. Now what we're doing is we're experiencing expanded matrices on these calls. And when we started doing this, I didn't know that would happen. I started out and I thought, well, I have to deliver some information. It's important. I have to tell people about the dimensional shift. And I would be far more into my, an agenda. But over time, the agenda of whatever I thought I was supposed to do went away. And I started to say, hey, there's this energy on the call. And they started to say, hey, that's us. We're on the call with you. And you started to say, hey, we feel this energy. And then, you know, we have these strange experiences where they say hello to somebody in Turkey by name. Hi, Batul, if you're listening to this. You know, a number of strange experiences. And you add them all up, and it all makes a consistent, congruent view of what's happening here. And so the topic is gratitude and grace. Well, gratitude and grace are two words that both incorporate an expanded matrix. And both of them only exist, in the way that I look at it, within the context of an expanded matrix. Because if we take the idea that the universe is one energy and that we can position ourselves at any multiplicity of places in that energy, now when I say we can, it doesn't mean we have the willpower to do it. We don't. Usually we're just stuck here, stuck there, and moving around and figuring it out. But you don't expand yourself through willpower. But some of you will realize that you can expand yourself by showing up. Just as I show up, you show up, and something happens, and we keep checking it out and say, did that really happen? Is that what he meant? And after a while, you say, every time I show up, this happens. And, you know, there's no movie. There's no mountaintop. There's nothing in particular that would trigger that from a worldly sense. And yet it's fairly consistent. When you start operating in this higher matrix, and what that means is you get used to holding the energy of expansion. You just get used to it. It becomes a new habit, and you take it for granted. And you go into the world, and suddenly you don't see everybody else's faults and weaknesses. You see through them, and you see their struggle, and you have compassion, and you don't judge them, and you look for ways to help, because you start to recognize within an expanded matrix, there is this wonderful feeling of exhilaration and joy, but there's also a responsibility. And that is, you meet new people, or people cross your path, and if you're incorporating what Ra calls the law of one, then you recognize those people as coming from the same energy you do and as being part of yourself. And that goes hand in hand with having an expanded matrix. And when you start to hold the energy of an expanded matrix, there's things that happen that your conscious mind has no awareness of. For example, there's all these other energies up there, and suddenly you're broadcasting, and you don't even know you're doing it, but you're broadcasting into the energy fields, and other people are broadcasting. And similar broadcasts, similar frequencies, suddenly meet each other, and suddenly something happens in the physical that seems like a coincidence, sometimes called a synchronicity, and something you asked for or wished you had suddenly comes in by magic, totally effortlessly. You know, we told the story of Jeff, and I'm going to maybe just say again, because it's a very clear example of, I believe, this working. And it's very subtle because it's easy to toss it off as that had to be coincidence. But Jeff, who we took a collection for and send him some money, and he thanks everyone that did that because it made a huge difference for him. Jeff was just up against the wall with five kids, couldn't pay his electric bill, and trying to get a job, couldn't get a job, all these problems, so we took a collection. And, you know, one of the dangers of doing that is you get a call every week from somebody, and they go back to the same position, and they say, could you take another collection? Could you take another collection? And you know what? That wouldn't work, because that just makes them dependent. But the thought I had in mind, and again, it doesn't, things don't always work out the way you think they will, but the thought was, you know, if this guy just had a little bit of positive thrown at him when he was so down and out, that he would lift his energy and maybe attract something through his ability to broadcast. You see, when you're all contracted into the earth realm, when you're into worry, fear, concern, you don't have the ability to broadcast in the other realms. You can't attract anything to you. Things don't happen by magic. It's all the sweat of the brow. And when you can reach and get your broadcasting system working, then in a very magical way, suddenly people say, I have to call Wynn. I have to call Jeff. And you pop into somebody's mind in a magical way, and they call you, or they reach towards you, and they say, remember that thing you told me about? I think we're ready to do it. So in Jeff's case, he was a pharmacist looking for a job, and he had left an application months ago with some pharmacy. And last week, he gets a phone call from the pharmacy, months later, saying, hey, we're ready to hire you. And it could be coincidence, but my experience of these things tells me that what we did, what Jeff did, worked, and that we created an expanded energy so that Jeff could broadcast, and suddenly somebody just thought of him and they called him. And each of us in our life has the ability, or at least the goal, to get our antenna up so we can make those broadcasts. And when we start doing it, and particularly if you made a connection with the Elohim, they can help. You know, there was, in questions and answers with the Elohim, there was a whole few pages on grace where I asked the question. And I really was amazed at the answer, because they said they had a very high-level subset of Elohim that they called Grace. And Grace was able to move through all the matrices, and the way they described it was to spray WD-40 on some of the geometries, the locked geometries. Because what happens is when you are operating at a lower level, your geometries become locked and fixed. Things don't happen by magic. And the magic only happens when you can move through the veil and access these realms of energy where things are flowing and thin. And you know what? The problem is when you do that, your conscious mind doesn't know it's doing it. You can't do it through willpower. It's like an off-center thing. There's a number of people that have kept coming into these calls, and things happen for them. And, you know, there was a whole movie called The Secret, which talked about the law of attraction. In a sense, I'm describing to you how the law of attraction works. And the key is getting your transmitter above the veil so your signal can be heard. You know, one of the things we're doing on these calls, I see it happening, is that our group energy, the group energy that we create on this call, is starting to move like this antenna above the veil, and other people are suddenly starting to notice this. And for the longest time, I felt like no one's going to ever understand this. People are going to think I'm crazy. And some people do. And people are going to think I'm on an ego trip. And some people do. And some people are going to be this or that. And to actually be able to put this out into the world. Now, we're not at that place. We're still a small group by worldly standards. But something is shifting. And all of you are part of the shift. It's not me. It's us. Because for what we're doing, we need a huge signal. Because the world is so resistant. And the world is so rigid. It has to be able to penetrate the rigidity of the world, and then people get it. And that's what grace is. Grace is being able to get your antenna up, and when it's up high enough, and when you make connection with higher forces, and whether you call them Elohim, God, the Holy Spirit, whatever your name is, you've made the connection way up that has the ability to help speed and grease the wheels so that what you want to come in can come in. And so the key to this is the easiest key. There's a lot of ways to do this, but we're putting out the signal of grace on these calls. The energy is there. And once you pick up that frequency and hold it, you can implement a shift and things can change. But you can't expect it to happen right away. I know that there's times when people hear that we're talking to the Elohim and come in and tell them to do this, we want that. And the person that's asking is still really contracted below the veil. And from my experience, I don't know if it's a can or a won't, but for them to come in, the person has to have a signal that gets above the veil so that they're not just in a stuck geometry, crystallized geometry. They have to get some looseness in their field. Now, you know, when you love somebody, you're loving somebody on the inner planes. If you have a connection with them and you keep that connection going in your heart, you are now broadcasting to them and giving them the opportunity to catch that broadcast and make a shift. But it's not going to happen through your personality. It's not going to happen through talking to them necessarily. Talking to them in a loving way helps, but ultimately it's going to happen in an invisible level over time when you hold for them. And oftentimes people say, what can I do for my mother, my sister, my husband? Learn to stay in love with all the people you care about. Even when they don't respond, hold the energy above the matrix, above the veil, where you can feel the energy connect with their energy. And I don't think you can do more for them than that. And many people, over time, will respond. I mean, Terry and I have watched this happen with some of the people we've known for years. There's one gentleman that used to be very jealous of me that was a friend of Terry's that, you know, would be almost violent in the way he thought of me. And over the last 6 months, something has shifted. And he is becoming more open and more mellow. Now, that doesn't mean he's on our calls. It doesn't mean he is repeating all the stuff I'm putting out, internalizing it, but he has shifted. And, you know, all the time he was raging against me, I could have been raging back at him. I could have been judging him. I could have said, I'm shutting him out of my life. But I never did that. And because Terry cared about this person, it was really important for me to hold the energy in particular for that situation. So these are things that are workable that you can experience. Now, gratitude is when, you know, there's appreciation and gratitude. In appreciation, in the world, there's like, some people may not make this distinction, but I have a distinction between those two words. You know, I remember when I was young and I heard my father talk about things, he would often talk about, oh, he owes me a favor. He owes me a favor. Well, in the human karmic way, there is a deep habit pattern that humans have that makes other people feel obligated. Like, if I do this for somebody, someday I can ask for something back from them, and vice versa. And within the context of that, then you would say it's the generation of appreciation. And not that appreciation is bad, and not that, you know, mutual obligation is a bad thing, but it's a lesser thing. And, you know, it's good to just be able to call it for what it is. There's no way you can go through life and not operate to some extent in those levels. So when you see yourself in those levels, it's okay. But when you create a vision of something higher, you can easily mistake that for your vision, and you need to have the discernment not to mistake worldly exchange and favors for grace and gratitude, because gratitude means you do something and it's done. There's no hook. There's no obligation. And when you do that for someone and they receive it and they truly receive it, instead of feeling obligation, they will feel gratitude. For example, the things I do on the show and the things I do on Message a Day, as I've been doing them and I've been watching how they've helped people, because when I started, I didn't know what would happen. And then people send me emails, and there's people that I know are feeling gratitude for the work I do, and I can feel the gratitude. And you know what? The gratitude just is a lingering energy that sticks. It's like the beginning of a group energy, that I'm grateful for all of you, just as you're grateful for me and for Terry and for Daphne and the work we're doing. And when people send donations as an expression of gratitude, it says, hey, man, it's working. Not donations because you're obligated. Not donations because you're guilty. Not donations because you're concerned about me. But you could be concerned because sometimes we're on the edge. But nonetheless, when the donations are an expression of gratitude, and so many of them come in like that, and I don't feel obligated, which I can say there's part of me that could go into there. You could go into feeling obligated. If I felt obligated, I couldn't do the job from the right place. I'd be trying to please you. And I'd be saying, what can I do to please you so that you'll send more money? And that's how these kinds of things go downhill and get corrupted, because instead of standing in the total here and now, in the spirit of the moment, you start trying to please people so they give you more money. And at that point, instead of holding the highest connection, you're now worshiping the God of opinion. You're not following your deepest, you're following what makes people happy. And you know, this is a fine line that all of us and all of our relationships have to walk. And to bring in jealousy and greed, because that was the title that we sent out today, jealousy and greed are what we could call service to self attributes. And, you know, some of the people who have studied the law of one and they look at service to self, they think about guys with horns and demonic forces and evil. But that's not really the best way to look at service to self. Service to self, at one time or another, everyone on this line, this lifetime or another lifetime, or almost everyone, I don't want to say everyone, probably had what would be a predominantly service to self lifetime. One of the reasons people are service to self, and this was in Questions and Answers with the Elohim, where I had asked a question, and they said, most people look downward. They don't look upwards. And when you're looking downward and you're the center of looking downward, you have, if that's all that exists for you, then your reality is to point everything you can towards yourself, because otherwise you'll die. You'll fail. And so the essence of service to self is gimme, gimme, gimme. For example, attention. Now, right now, we are all in each other's attention. And we're probably in the attention of the group souls. And this attention is totally free will. There's no agenda. There's no manipulation on my part, on their part, or your part. And when we're in attention, when we really have attention, there is a great uplifted feeling within that. And that's why time moves so fast on these phone calls. And a service to self-predominant consciousness also needs attention. But at some intrinsic deep level, they don't believe they'll ever get it by free will. No one's going to give it to them. And they're not looking behind them to the attention that they could get from the higher sources. So their life is based on the acquisitiveness of gathering attention, gathering money. And for example, if you're in that space and you're in a room and someone else is in the room who is more beautiful than you, more charismatic, and the crowd in that room is giving that person attention, you'll look at that and say, why are they giving it to them and not to me? That's what jealousy is. Jealousy is the acquisitiveness for attention, and attention being a commodity that you need to acquire and pull towards you. And if no one's paying you attention, you feel empty. Now, you see, it's a very fine line, because attention is one of the ways we connect with each other. So when we are free willingly giving each other our attention, it's a joy. And it's an expression of very high love. It's an expansion of your matrix. And it's a learning how to give and take of attention without creating jealousy, and knowing that at one moment you may be the center of attention and next week you may not be, and being able to move through that and change and shift without going back and trying to grab the attention that you don't have today that you had last week. You know, some people who are great artists, like very famous people, who get addicted to the attention, and they live from performance to performance and feel empty in between. And when they're on stage, they look beautiful and glowing and charismatic. And when they're not, if you see them on the street, they look old and haggard because they have not learned how to flow with the higher energies. And they are orienting their life towards getting attention pointed towards them. And, you know, within doing that, they create service because they lift the spirits of other people. So it's not to judge anybody. People can only change and grow when they do. And I'm sharing this in the hope that maybe by understanding these concepts, you can be more patient with yourself. And obviously greed is another aspect of acquisitiveness, of gimme, gimme, gimme. I got to get it all or I won't have anything. And I'm trying to think of a grand closing line here, and I can't, and I'm talking about this. We have just a few minutes left to bring in our sources. And I'm not hogging this because I like to hog it. Terry does an awful lot of channeling, and when she channels, she really gets out of it for quite some time. And even when she doesn't channel, she can be out of it, but she gets more out of it. And so it seems to me I can do this, and it doesn't impact me. So, Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, let's bring in our sources and see what they have to add on the topics we're talking about. And I'll just do a quick calling in the light, which we've been doing just by being here and sharing space. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies and into the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, to join our energy. And while we do all this, we maintain the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we create a protected space that only the positive can access, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have a source present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Fa On, and today is September 13th, 2010, and we send love light to each and every person on the conference line and on the BBS radio and everyone that will listen to either source later on or read a transcript. And we realize that once a person leaves the higher realms and is in the third density in a separate manner, they may feel a loss of love light as they have a barrier of focusing mechanism of the body and veil around them, and they may feel that they have lost the intense love that is available in the higher realms, in particularly the highest realms, sixth density, the seventh density, and the eighth density, and the tenth density. And at these, there is a sacred love between energy forms, and duality has vanished. And when one moves into the duality of the third dimension, they may feel separated, and they may feel the loss of love. So when, then, if they do not receive enough love in their childhood and from the people that are raising them, they may grow jealous when they imagine someone is receiving this love from another or receiving attention, which then they mistake for love. When one is not feeling loved, it is very easy to immediately feel jealous when one sees love being expressed between others. When one has circumstances and surrounds themselves with circumstances in which they have loving people, and they move into a relationship mode with a loving person, or a family mode with a loving person or people, then they can begin to fill in these cracks of lack of love, and then they will begin to experience the lessening of jealousy because they know what the love experience is like, and then they want others to have it also. Grace is a sacred area, and it is containing, words are failing us here because it is way beyond words. It is mathematics. It is mathematics and love in motion, wherein the intention of grace can move into an individual's life in the lower dimensions and can move obstacles and barriers out of the way. And as the individual may even see little sparks of light, as the love light of grace impacts locked geometries and sets them in motion and allows an individual to grow and to move past his locked areas, and miracles can occur. Patterns which have been formed from traumatic incidents in the past life and magnetized the DNA to move forward with that individual into a current life and have been triggered in the current life can then be set free and can unlock the locked geometries so that the individual can move through the trauma and can step out of the trauma. We see a vision of a man stepping out of a fog as he then can see clearly the people around him and can choose loving circumstances and so can so nourish him herself. Greed, when someone has enough, let's say that an individual is earning and receiving enough sustenance to be able to support him, herself, and the family, and to have enough food and to pay for all of the obligations, and can buy the children enough food and clothes and support the children and can have some fun trips, then the individual can feel that they are equally balanced in their life. However, if one is short, one can become desperate, and then greed can flare up out of control in their mind as they become desperate to fill a need. Therefore, living in the third dimension, the third density, is a balance, and lifetime after lifetime, one can learn how to avoid giant pitfalls and can learn to choose situations that will fulfill them and still allow challenges for growth for them within the third density.
I think we have to come to a close.
Yes. Thank you. Did we get cut off? Hello?
Of course we do. Hello?
Hi.
Okay, just by attending these calls, it helps you open the possibility of these things in your life. And it takes a while because we all come with our own baggage. Thank you all who are listening on BBS Radio. If you're not on messageaday.net, I hope you'll join messagerday.net and get our daily messages and all this input to help lift you out of the third density and hold the space of the higher matrix. Thanks, Terry. Thanks, Hives, for introducing everybody. And we'll stop our recording now and say goodbye to BBS.
Press 1 to stop recording this conference. This conference is no longer being recorded. All callers are muted. Callers are unmuted.